Yay, this is Amanda Ella West, your quicker waker upper, and you are tuning in to Inalienable Sovereignty Conversations for Elevation. And I am so excited and honored to welcome back Miss Melissa Sophia Joy. And we're going to dive into Inalienable Sovereignty and Unity Consciousness. And I'm going to let Melissa share a little bit more about herself with you.
Thank you, Amanda. I'm so delighted to be here. So, I'm many different things. I am a licensed naturopathic doctor, mind, body, spirit specialist. But what I'm most excited about right now is that I am really, I can say the founder, but really I'm the co-creator of Somatic Awakening, co-creator with many different ascended masters, especially Mary Magdalene, who's primarily the one who transmitted this information about what somatic awakening is all about. And so honored to share the information that's been coming through regarding the coming together of sovereignty and healing and elevation and awakening and so many things that are connected to the work that I do in the world. I also am a founding director of Sophia Healing Academy. I'm a mystic. I'm a priestess in the Magdalene Sophia tradition. I could go on and on and on, but you get a sense from there.
Yes, she's the everything bagel of the priestess world.
I love everything bagels. Yes, I'll accept that.
Beautiful. And I love that you said I really co-created because I feel the same way about things that come through for me. Like, did I really create that? It was really, this gift. So, thank you for bringing source into it. And I'm curious for, for you, what does inalienable sovereignty mean?
Well, it has many different aspects to it, and it really depends on, how each person is coming to it. So I'm just going to tell you how I perceive it. So for me, because I'm a deep spiritual practitioner, it goes hand in hand with one's spiritual growth, one's healing. So in essence, what I've experienced and what has been shared to me from the guides and ascended masters is that really it's a stepping stone on the path of awakening. Because if we don't have sovereignty, inalienable sovereignty really engaged in our life, we're being controlled. We're being controlled by all the negative voices inside of us, by the familial and societal programs. We're being controlled by whatever outside influences are happening, whether that be relationships that are manipulative or there's a power over structure that we're dealing with, whether that's corporations or government or fill in the blank, right? So in
Right.
essence, what sovereignty really means for me is that we are connected to the divine sovereignty that we are. That says no more. We are not being controlled inside or outside. And in that process, it brings in huge amounts of healing and awareness and connection and compassion to ourselves and to others, as well as really strong, healthy boundaries when are needed. And all the different articulations that go along with that in terms of communicating those healthy boundaries so that we're free.
Beautiful. Aho to all of that.
Oh.
Total resonance. And you were talking about the it being a step on the way to unity consciousness, and I would love for you to share for people that aren't necessarily familiar with what unity consciousness is, maybe a personal example, and how that is, how those steps come together for you.
Absolutely. Lately there's been a couple of different things that have happened. So I'm going to go really expansive and share something that I haven't really shared that much about. I'll be talking about it more, I'm sure, in the future. But I just recently was in Hawaii and was on a very powerful spiritual retreat where there was a lot of expansion and awakening happening. And at the end of that retreat, I went to this very sacred land, which I know you know, Amanda, Menini Beach, near the Captain Cook area where a dear friend lives. and had this experience where I knew myself as a Lemurian living on that land. Actually, it wasn't that land, it was the land beneath the land, right? Because, you know, the volcano and everything that, you know, the land there is relatively new. But the primary thing is that I want to point out here is that I've had lots of past life memories. I understand how they come, what it looks like, how it feels. This was different because it wasn't just a memory that I had in my being. It was an understanding, a living, breathing, somatic understanding of not only what it was like to live individually as unity consciousness, but it was what it was like to live as a society living in unity consciousness. So what that means and what that felt like is that we all knew that we weren't separate. The lie of separateness that we are now living in, that our ego firmly believes, is no longer running. So in essence, people can have unity consciousness awakening experiences where they feel themselves as, you know, I am one with all things, right? And having those kind of experiences are incredibly important, because as we do have those experiences, it's imprinted upon us, oh gosh, I know this is for real. And then we're asked to live unity consciousness. And the path of sovereignty really, it helps us with both. It helps us have these awakening experiences of unity consciousness, as well as the bigger and much wider path of what it means to live unity consciousness, so that we can really understand, not just from a mental perspective, but live what it's like to understand that your dearest beloved and you are one, as well as those who you don't like, or maybe the politicians, though, the whoever, right, that are like
others. Oh.
Right, the others, right, we're one with them as well, and they've just forgotten. They're maybe more in the dense field of forgetting, right, that that intense separation is happening with them, all those dualistic experiences. So in essence, what unity consciousness is opening to the path more and more and more of connecting into this field of knowing that humanity is one with all things. We are one with together, we are one with all living things, we are one with all of our galactic family, we are one in this love that flows through everything.
Yeah, and there is a big difference, which I think it's great to you know, put a little highlighter marker on it. There's a big difference between the belief in it, because there are a lot of people that believe in it, and we've read a lot of books from people, and like, that sounds great, and it even, I can even feel the truth of it in my heart, and so I really strongly believe in it, which is different than actually experiencing it, which is mind-blowing. And then sometimes even after having those unity consciousness experiences, we can go back into forgetfulness. So I'm just curious what, for you, you know, how do you keep that alive, and how do you live it and embody it?
That's a really good question. You know, just as I said a moment ago, it's a path. It's a complete path. Just like awakening is a path. You know, really, the awakening and unity consciousness go hand in hand. There are different levels of awakening. Like, we can have an awakening to divine love. We can have awakening to unity. We can have awakening to, you know, our true connection with our higher self. But in essence, it's all moving in the same direction, because ultimately, as the ego is living less and less as the one out in front controlling, or the lower mind, what I call the ego mind controlling, right, the more divinity, our higher, which our higher self is one with, is leading.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's ultimately what we're moving into. I was just listening to a lecture yesterday from Adyashanti, and he was talking about how, you know, eventually you get to the place where you start asking the question, what's real? Like, what's really real beyond the mind, right? And when we start asking questions like that, we move into experiences and living and breathing more and more this unity consciousness. So in essence, to specifically answer your question, there's two things. One, you surrender to the path. You realize it's a path. It's not something that you can think your way through. it's something that you open to again and again and again, and the more you open to it and have experiences of it, the more it imprints itself upon you, and the more that you bring divine healing, light, care, love, compassion into all the different places of the ego that says you're not mm-hmm. unity consciousness. That's really how we live it. It's a path. So just to add on to this, when I came back from Hawaii, just like, and this is true of my experiences with awakening experiences, you have this like, whoosh, oh my God, I'm one with all things. And it's so beautiful and it's so amazing. And I'm in ecstasy and joy. And it's so, and it lasts what, an hour or a few days or a few weeks. And then eventually all that light comes down into our being, right? So as that light started coming down into my being, when I came back to California, what happened is that all my ego voices that didn't believe that it's part of unity consciousness, they started getting lit up. So one of those voices was judgment, right? Oh, it's just a core thing, especially as a Leo, judgment, right? And so I was like, I thought I was done with this. And of course I've worked with it before, but now it's taking that sandpaper and just rubbing it away, because judgment automatically says I'm different. I'm other, you're this. You, this other person, are pissing me off, or you're making me mad, or you should change, whatever it is, right? So that sandpaper, right? So we surrender to the path of our spiritual unfolding and healing even deeper. Beautiful. And then we allow our higher self to lead. And we realize when our ego is in the way and we say, oh, okay, you again, let's come back. Mm-hmm. Let's come back into relationship, sweetheart. What's really going on there?
Yeah.
Take some sandpaper full mm-hmm. of love and compassion. Mm-hmm. Rub it down, because all those voices that say that we're different, mm-hmm. we're better than, we're less than.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Not yeah. Only. For me, it comes through plants, and I know, you know, I work with entheogens, I work with sacred psychedelics, but it's not just those, although those, you know, Huachuma, also known as San Pedro, I and Nino Santos, I meditated, not under the influence of anything, but just meditated. Why are you helping us? You know, why are you helping the humans so much? You give your body, right? They're your whole body to us, and you do so much profound healing that sometimes we can't do on our own, or it's very accelerated healing. Like, why are you doing this for us? And they just showed me the unity consciousness. Like, we're literally rooted in the, you know, incontrovertible evidence of the interconnectedness of all things. And so when you choose to work with us and receive our wisdom, that's what we're going to work helping to heal that forgetting of the connection. And as you were speaking, it just popped in, you know, even without those allies that alter us, alter our consciousness, just doing a dieta, you know, just cleansing out and work, doing like a rose dieta, you know, or a manzanita dieta, you know, like you're going to get this powerful remembering of the interconnectedness of all things, which happened on a hike. I was walking and all of a sudden the grasses were like, we are your ancestors. And they showed me like this, you know, before we embalmed people and put them in coffins to disconnect them from being remembered by the earth, you know, it was this sacred bodies going into the earth and becoming the soil that grew the food and the medicines that the next generations consumed. And like this, you know, literally not just the woo, you know, not just out here or in here, but the actual physical matter of our beings is interconnected with everything else. You know, we've become, our ancestors have become one with the earth, fed next generations, and so on and so on. And I love that because it is incontrovertible. And it was like, wow, everything is my ancestor. You know, every living thing, the minerals, the plants, the animals, we are all literally, we have fed each other through the ages.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of a story of an experience that I had last week, because in my work, I'm an intuitive. I call myself a medical intuitive, but really I'm an intuitive across the board. And I worked with a person whose dog is dying. And she said, can you just take a look? I said, okay. You know, it's a little different working with animals than it is humans. I'm not a, you know, specialist in that, but I have read a lot of dogs. And when I connected in with him, the primary thing that he communicated to me is that his being, his emotions are in a unified field with all things, and especially his owner. Yeah. So he wanted his owner to communicate that what he most wants before he dies is for her to connect with him on that unified emotional field, so that they could feel this awakened love that he feels for her all the time. Mm-hmm. And she is a spiritual practitioner. So when I said that to her, she totally got it and started crying. And, you know, it was like this beautiful unified love that that they share together because they have that specific relationship. But that this dog was communicating with me, it was like, oh, well, this is why dogs are so empathic, because we are living in a unified field of emotion.
Yeah.
It was so precious.
That so is beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animals. One of my teachers, Martine Prechtel, at a very pivotal time when my cat had gotten a stroke, shared, he did stuff like that all the time. He'd go on these tangents that felt like that was just, I swear that was just for me, but he was sharing that our animals and plants will take a hit for us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have on altars, you know, in ceremony, especially plants, so that the, because when people are releasing and even unconsciously jealousies and projections, you know, happen, and they can go, you know, part of the unity consciousness, right?
We're That's all right.
And exactly. So I'm curious about that, actually, you know, spiritual hygiene in the unity consciousness field, when some people aren't aware, or whether they're aware or not, they've got a little bit of funk or something that's just, it's not in alignment with our personal best and highest. How do you navigate that for yourself? And I'm sure you've probably helped other people to deal with that as well.
Yeah. This is where the living contradiction really comes into a really focused view, because yes, we are in unity consciousness, and yes, we're also living in a dualistic plane where there can be a lot of funky energies and even entities floating around. How do we do that? So, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing readings for a long time. So I have a whole setup that I do. You know, if a person works with me, I always ask them, do you want to hear my setup verbally or non-verbally? You can meditate. But if they're listening, it's more like, okay, we ground, we call in Supreme Being, all that is, Divine Mother, Divine Father, you know, holding us in this consecrated container, calling in the guides. We're only in alignment with the highest vibrations of the law of love and law of one, right? So when I'm working with a person, I'm working with a container. However, when I'm working with a person who's not an energy medicine practitioner, sometimes I'll you know, go deep into this with other practitioners. How do you hold space as an acupuncturist? Or, you know, maybe you're just doing energy medicine. Let's talk more about that. That can take an hour. But the easy, quick way that I learned early on that is very effective. It's so easy that at first I thought, oh, does this really work? But it really does work, is to actually call in, okay, hold on a second, let me think of the words. But basically what you do is you call in neutral separations. And what you do is you name five things that are different from you And the person who is in question, who you feel like you just got slimed or you picked up some of their energy or whatever it is, just name five things that are different. So say
like hair color or
hair color,
height,
the car
or
you drive,
where you live,
sex that you are,
right.
You know, whatever it is. And then at the end, say their energy goes back to completely to them and my energy goes back completely to me. We are separate.
Wow, powerful.
Five things, and then make that really powerful statement at the end. And so it is, and there is a separation. So,
beautiful.
You know, if I'm working in a group in a container there, you know, I could teach a whole class about this, but the very short answer would be that.
Yeah. And I'm glad we touched into this because I know that I'm, like I said, I'm sure you've worked with a lot of people. I've worked with people as well who are very, very sensitive, very tuned in and don't really know how to have those energetic boundaries. And so it's hard to feel sovereign, right? When your superpowers have such a harsh flip side to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, early on for me, I just learned to put up walls and just totally disconnect myself from it. And I thought I had won the lottery, you know, like I don't have to feel that shit anymore. It's so good. All that's out there. Whoop. And then started to, you know, took a while to realize like, oh, there's some stuff I'm missing out on, as well, you know? So, it's so important to be aware of, and then also knowing the internal landscape to know, right? What is mine and what isn't. I remember early on before I had all these practices totally dialed in, like I was aware that there was fear programming, and like, how do I know the difference between fear programming and something that's like, you need to leave right now, you know, like you need to go or this is not your person or this is not your event or whatever invitation. Right. So, you know, and these are essential parts, I think, of inalienable sovereignty, knowing the self. But I'm curious what you would have to share about that.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I just want to say about that, first of all, is that, you know, there are so many different ways that we can tap into our superpowers as a intuitive, right? So there's clairvoyance and clairsentience, and then there's many different ways of knowing. And then there's empathy, right? So empathy, there are two different ways to define that. I'm not talking about like someone sharing and you're reflecting back to them being, you know, empathic that way. But then there's the empathic intuitive. And what I mean by that is that this person has been set up energetically, which I'll talk about in a moment, to kind of read and take on everyone else's energies. And I used to be that person. I remember being a massage therapist early on and massaging a woman and crying the whole time and then finding out afterwards she was healing from sexual abuse. And I, you know, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. What the heck is this? And I learned more about the empathic aspects of intuition. And there are many different ways that we can work with that. Neutral separations. One, we can create walls, or we can create energetic boundaries around ourselves, right? Which can work to a certain extent. But what I actually experienced, because I've worked with so many people who are empathically intuitive, is that 9 times out of 10, if you're so empathically intuitive that you don't really know how to shift it, look back at your family trauma history, because usually what's going on is that there was someone in the family, either a father or mother or both of the parents, that were abusive or addicts or whatnot. And the little child that we were had to be super aware of what was going on. So we used our superpower early on, not knowing exactly what we were doing, to track mom or to track dad so that we could stay safe, right? So we're set up in that way. right? So it becomes a program inside of us, so that then as we step into being an energy medicine person, or even just connecting into our intuition, we're like, why am I doing this? Well, let's do some deeper work with healing your trauma so you don't have to do that anymore. Yes. So that then you can evolve to be clairsentient. So yes. Basically clairsentient is, oh, I can connect in with you. I can sense that something's going on in your heart because I can feel it in my heart, but I'm not taking it on.
Yeah.
Right. It's a much more evolved level.
Yeah.
So that's the primary thing that I have found with people that have boundary issues. And again, it's literally becoming more sovereign at the core of our being.
Yes.
So that we don't have to take on another person's emotion as if it's ours.
Yeah. And you can probably relate to this. I mean, that you spoke a lot about, you know, I had, you know, the childhood trauma and like needing to, okay, you know, where I have to take care of this person who's actually supposed to be taking care of me.
Right.
And enter, and then that cultivates the rescuer, mm-hmm. which makes for like the outside of the unity consciousness, like the best healers, because they will, you know, everybody comes first and I got to take care of everybody. And for me, it was like, I have to take care of you because I can feel this and I don't want to feel this way anymore. And it's not inside of me. So I better take care of it out here. And it's taken a long time to really continue to peel off the layers of codependency, you know, and like, okay, I can be aware of it. I might even say, hey, I noticed this. Would you like help? But to no longer feel like it's my job to fix somebody else, because that's not even that's the opposite of sovereignty, right? Let me come in and get involved in your business, instead of like, how do I just butt the fuck out? You know,
exactly.
It's not my business.
That's right.
And to be in that good way. Exactly. I'd put that out there. It's
absolutely. And that to me is, you know, goes into connection with those ego voices, right? These ego programs and parts and ways of being that we've learned that try to help us. And so from an ego's perspective, it's like, well, I feel your crap inside of me, so I have to save you, right? Well, it's not really about saving you. It's about looking at the part of me that believes I need to take on your crap.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So it goes much deeper, 10 feet deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like the better that we, you know, former rescuer healers, you know, get into our own boundaries and really fully embody ourselves, our presence can be an awakening for other people. I've had in ceremony, and just in, you know, being with someone, just like, wow, I just feel like so much just opened up inside of me. Just mm-hmm. being in your field, mm-hmm. You know, and that's the best, because there's no fixing. There's just, we're waking up together,
right?
And that unified field of consciousness, where we get to all wake up together.
Absolutely. And you know what I have found in that place where we can sit in our sovereignty and allow another person the space to have their process, instead of us coming in and fixing them or trying to fix them, because granted, I definitely used to do that a lot, that they then have more space to be themselves. And mm-hmm. in that process, we also open to more compassion, because automatically we're just sitting back in our seat and allowing them to sit back in their seat. And instead of moving outside of our field, trying to fix another person, we can just sit back in our seat and open our heart.
Yes.
No, yes, this too.
Uh-huh.
This too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Melissa, and it's Dr. Melissa. I called you Miss Melissa. It's Dr. Melissa. Everything bagel.
Bagel, that's right.
How can people, like, is there something that you have coming up, or how can people stay connected with you, learn from you? receive your incredible intuitive wisdom to support them in their lives.
Well, thank you for asking. So there are several different ways. I'll first give you my, I have a couple of different websites. I am a teacher, as I mentioned before. I'm a founding director of Sophie Healing Academy, and we have a lot coming up. That website is sophiahealingacademy.com. And there, at the beginning of November, end of October, I'm actually launching a 6-month program in Somatic Awakening. And Somatic Awakening, in essence, is connecting to the divinity that we are, our higher self, the conduit of divinity, and bringing that down into our body, into all the places that are contracted and frozen, to really help soften the ego structure so that we can be in more awakening. So I'm offering a 6-month program at the end of October. But in order to get into that program, there's a prerequisite called Embody Healing and Freedom. And because I'm offering that program soon, that prerequisite is getting ready to go on sale. So keep in mind, if you're interested in diving in more into this, this is a perfect time to dive in, because starting not this weekend, but next weekend, it's getting ready to go on half off sale. So wow. It's a really, really powerful course that you can read a lot more about on SophiaHealingAcademy.com. And then I also have an ongoing practice. And to find out more about my practice, you can go to that website, which is somatic-awakening.com.
Somatic-awakening.com. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, I highly recommend, if you're not already familiar with Dr. Melissa's work in the world, please get on her train and go for a little ride. Mm-hmm. Get all the good stuff. And thank you so much for taking your time to Absolutely. Share with us. And yes, let's stay connected for sure. It was way too long since the last time. So we'll be here next week. Same lovely time and channel. And until we get to all get to connect again, may the source be with you.